And we're back once again. We're back here with Representative Roger Victory. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Jute. It's a nice chilly morning out there.
Isn't it, though? Wow. Wow. It's the kind of day when you go out and milk and come back in the house and have coffee.
Exactly. Appreciate you. Boy, those were the days back in the, you get out in those barns and milk early in the morning. And,
yeah.
Yeah, the heat of the cows warm the barns
cow.
Up. That's right.
All right. Well, let's talk about what things are getting warm up in the Capitol. I noticed that the hunting for the wolves did not, it was pretty moderate, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And as anticipated, a wolf is a very smart animal.
Yeah.
And hunting a wolf is not an easy situation. You have to really know the terrain. And but also, this with the hunt, it creates the environment to put more fear in the animal of the wolf.
That's right.
And this is what we need, because our livestock producers and those homeowners with pets and even small children, we need to institute a fear of the human in the wolf, and this is one of the benefits of this wolf hunt. So.
And we have another call. Yes, you're on the line with Roger.
Yeah, I was wondering when and if they're going to pass some kind of auto insurance relief, you know, for that the uninsured motorist thing. I mean, that thing, I just got my insurance bill, and that's up another $30 mm-hmm. this year again, just for 6 months. So I'd like your comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you.
The caller has a very good concern there, especially among our senior members out in the community. This is that fee is imposing quite a restriction on their disposable income. And we continue to keep bringing this issue forward. Looked like there was some movement coming during the fall session. Chairman Pete Lung, he is the chair of the insurance committee there. He's passionate about it. I'm on board. We need to do some reform on this no-fault insurance because we need to pass some savings on, and true savings. We're going to do some reform. We got to make sure it's substantial savings to the insurers, because mm-hmm. that portion there is taking a big bite out of their disposable income. And the caller has a very good point on that. There, some work needs to be done on that issue.
All right. Would tort reform have a
there's bearing some, that, on it? That is a component too. Also, capping the fund right now. That catastrophic fund. There's no cap on those who received injuries.
Right.
There's some talk about a $10 million cap. What's the proper level? But substance reform needs to take place because comparable to other states, and as a small business owner too, we insure a lot of vehicles and other small businesses throughout the state. We need to keep Michigan a competitive environment, and this is one of the areas that the governor has embraced too and spoke passionately on to get some reforms so we can make sure Michigan is an equal player among other neighboring states.
But for this it'll be undone for this year.
This year, but it's still in play. The committee has done some diligent work on it, and I've been holding meetings in my office, too, with the parties of concern, and I do see some movement looking toward the spring. But there's some interest groups on both sides of this issue, and it's passionate, and so that's why it's taking some time. But there again, if we're going to do some reforms, let's not just do some window dressing on this issue. Let's get some serious savings to the insurers.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hey, that fellow with the question on the insurance reform, that was a good question, but you didn't answer it. You said you told us that there were people looking at it,
mm-hmm.
that you were interested in looking at it, the committee head was interested in looking at it, that Snyder was interested in looking at it, and everybody's going to look at it like they've been looking at it. But you didn't give any solution as to make it go down.
That's right. We need to continue to push on for a vote on this issue. So as the caller says, we're looking at it. That's a part of the process. And then moving forward here, getting some momentum behind it. One of the issues we have is there's some pushback from Oakland County. There's several elected officials from that area that speak on behalf of maintaining this catastrophic fund and some aspects there. And so I've been working with my colleagues and have been addressing the need that we need to move this forward because it is costing our insurers
mm-hmm.
and it's coming out of their pocketbooks. So, you know, the caller is correct. We've been looking at it and we've been pushing for it.
Okay. So we expect something will happen one of these days.
This issue has been on the plate for the last several years. We're getting closer, especially when we're trying to put a cap on this catastrophic fund. What's the proper number? One point was $1 million, but then some of the victims, those who are $1 million go through very quickly. Is $10 million the proper number? So we're starting to get to these numbers and something that's workable. And I've been in Lansing for 1 year, and I've seen probably more movement in this direction than they did in the last few years. So because of the concerns we hear from the callers.
Right.
This is going to be more and more expensive for the insurers in the state of Michigan. And we're an outlier because of the uniqueness of our no-fault insurance.
And I'm sure there's a lot of organized...
There's strong groups on both sides, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. But I've been on the forefront saying we need reform, and I'm willing to vote for this reform as long as we have substance savings to the insurers.
Okay.
Just can't pass a $20 savings along and say...
No. Not really.
Nope.
There goes the Social Security rate.
That's right, yep.
Okay. 395-1450 is our number here, and if you'd like to talk to Roger, you may do so by just calling that number. Time out.
At the wonderful Lifehouse Lakeside Vista, call 1-877-257-9927. That's easy. 877-257-9927.
Our guest, Representative Roger Victory, and if you'd like to talk to him, just give us a call, 395-1450. What else is floating around the floor there?
Thing I like to report is we're making a down payment on the road repair. We're releasing the first wave of this money that we were able to capture in this budget, some of this additional revenue, and some of the information has been embargoed on the specific projects that will be released pretty soon, but I was privy to seeing some of these projects, and we'll be addressing some of the needs of these roads in West Michigan. This is not a sustainable method where we have right now, but I'm proud to announce that we are moving forward. Looks like it'll be around $200 million plus, give or take a little bit, to help fit some of the roads. And I'm sure as this hard winter is kind of approaching right now, we're going to have plenty of potholes to be dealing with.
Yes.
So there is some money there. But there again, there's going to be more work to be done on a sustainable method of funding for our roads in the future.
Okay. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Good morning. Got a couple questions or comments. One is on that pay raise of $90,000 that went to some organization or person. That's an absolute sin to have a pay raise of $90,000. And then also we have money to build a new office building for everybody in Lansing, but no money to fix the roads. I'd appreciate a comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you just commented on the road.
That's
so.
Right, yep. No, she was addressing... Not specifically, she didn't indicate what person this was, but there was some increases on some of these department personnel, and I know some people in Treasury received a substantial increase, and the justification was for it. In the private sector, you know, the equivalent wages could be earned. I do have some issue with Treasury. You know, if they're going to give these pay raises out to these people working in Treasury, sometime their performance, too, could step up the plate. So that's... A number of legislators have had some issues with dealing with that department, and that gives a little angst in our feeling there, too. And regarding the office building, I'm not quite sure what structure that it is, but if she would always want to follow up with my office on it and know that concern, I'd be more than happy to give more detail on it.
Okay, you want to give your number?
My number in Lansing is 517-373-1830. And again, that number, you can reach me at 517-373-1830.
Okay.
Yep.
395-1450 is our number here if you'd like to talk to him this morning. And our line is open for you at this moment. So let's take another call, I believe, coming in. I guess I was wrong. Okay. All right. What else is going around the floor?
Well, a couple items I just like to highlight what we've, you know, we're concluding the year here. Some things we've addressed with some tax relief packages. One specific item is the trade-in value of if you purchase a new car, RV,
right,
and watercraft, the trade-in value can be a takeaway from that sales tax portion there. So that's issue. Also, we dealt with some veteran issues. It was very critical here in the state of Michigan. Comparable to other states, our veterans were a little bit lacking in some of the issues and benefits they were receiving. One of them was a property tax abatement for the 100% disabled veteran. That gives a credit on their property tax for those who dedicated their lives to service this country and are 100% disabled. disabled, and this is, I think, a good accomplishment of the of our work in Lansing, but also giving job credit for that work experience that these veterans achieved during their time of service and applying it toward their apprenticeship programs. It might be an electrician, it may be a plumber, it might be in law enforcement, but giving them credit for the hard work they did while they're serving their country and applying it to their private sector.
And we got another call. Yes, you're online with Roger.
An update of what they're going to do with the catastrophic insurance on our automobile insurance. Anything being done, or what's the status there? Mm-hmm. I'll hang up and listen, Roger.
Okay. And again, the caller's referring back to the subject matter that was called in earlier on. And there again, this is a hot issue in Lansing. It's looking, and again, I'm on board for some substantial reform. I've indicated that publicly that I'll be willing to take a vote if we are demonstrating substantial savings to the insurance, to those who are insurers out there. And it's important on the business community and also their seniors and also our hardworking men and women, because that's costs continue to rise.
We're on the way.
Well, we're working on that, and I will be a voice in favor of substantial reform in that area.
Okay.
And continue, have been, and continue, will be.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning. Somebody called in, Roger mentioned about the trade-in with sales tax, and I was wondering what the formula was, how many years and how much per year, and when does it start? Thank you, Roger.
Thank you. Well, the caller has a good point there. It's a graduated scale, so it's going to be continued to be phased in over a period of time, and that will start this coming year for the when you purchase your new vehicle, and not just restricted to a car, but it'll be RVs, trucks, watercraft, and those other type of those things mm-hmm. that we have to register with the Secretary of State. So,
I think the end date is 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
From now.
Yep. It'll be gradually phased in so that we can, get that worked in our budget.
Right.
But we're moving in the right direction and giving that savings to our taxpayers there.
Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Morning. I know people, or I've been in support groups where people have been injured in an automobile accident, and I think these people need help. I think that to sort of toss them out in the street is not right if they cannot work. I've also seen abuse of the system. But I do think that one of the general rules of politics is sunshine. Let the sunshine shine on whatever is done so that the insurance company, their books are open, that everybody knows what's happening. I lived on the East Coast, and the insurance companies would raise, it happened to be on Cape Cod, would raise the rates every year. And they said it was based on a model of when they might have a hurricane. But the books weren't open. They never exposed what the model was, but yet they still raised the rates. So I think everything as far as the insurance companies, how much money they get, how they allocate it, all should be open. Another thing that the legislator has done is people have petitioned, the right of petition things, but the legislature turns around and ties some financial attachment to it, and therefore the people's choice cannot be made. So this is just trickstering, I think, and I think that everything should be open and above board.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Thank you.
And the caller brings up a point, and that's where I was discussing where's the financial level of the cap. Right now, there's unlimited cap. What dollar amount would be a fair amount
right.
to give for someone that had one of these catastrophic injuries? And that's where some of the callers says, let's get this process going with speed. But there's also these other concerns that when we get this situation taken care of, we're addressing these needs, and that's where some of the discussion is at a $10 million cap, and then if you put it at $10 million, what kind of savings can be passed on to the insurers? So, this past caller brought up some of the concerns that we need to face as a legislative body.
Yeah. I guess we have to face the reality that the amount that we can pay a person like that is
mm-hmm.
limited.
It is limited. But in our current system, there is some I would say, I would put the word abuse in there, but it's a little heavy-handed, and somehow some of these charges are being done mm-hmm. because they can. And when you can, you will take work the system to your best advantage.
I know one of our former legislators told me about a case where the state of Michigan built a home for someone in another state,
mm-hmm.
and then he went to live there
yep.
and enjoyed his house, which was all
paid for.
Paid for and fit mm-hmm. for him.
Exactly. And there are those examples. You hear about those all the time, and that has to be put into the aggregate when you're making these decisions. But we do need to get this thing some cost containment because those insurers are speaking loud and clear of this rising cost.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, time out for this word.
To promise your family, hometown, heartfelt service that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. It's a promise we've kept for over 100 years.
Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Good morning. I would just like to comment on the no-fault insurance. I was injured in an auto accident 25 years ago, and my neck was broken. I spent about 8 weeks in Butterworth Hospital, followed by 3 months at Mary Freebed, followed that by a number of years of outpatient physical therapy. In fact, it still goes on today.
Mm-hmm.
And in 25 years ago, in $1,988, by the time I got home, my medical bills were more than $500,000. And it continues today with with prescriptions and things like that. $1 million, $2 million, $5 million. I'm sorry to say, but for many people with spinal cord injuries or head injuries, those expenses continue on. This permits me to do things in the community with my family, to be a contributing member of society, where if you place those limits on the dollar amounts just to help out the insurance companies, I'm sorry, you're looking at things in the short term. It'd be much better for many people if you look at the long-term effects of a catastrophic injury. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, and these are issues we hear, and this is why this debate continues to go on. And the caller, you know, you put these dollars amount. What is the dollar amount? But I do have a philosophical issue when how can insurer provide insurance coverage for a premium that's not defined? And mm-hmm. When there's no cap on it, it's how do you sell a product when you without knowing what type of payout you're going to have on it? And that's where we need to get reform on.
Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Yeah, good morning. That no-fault auto insurance, there are several people, many, many people, they get their insurance, buy insurance, get their license tabs, and then they cancel their insurance. That catastrophic fund should be paid to the Secretary of State's office and not to the insurance company so that everybody pays into it, because there are a lot of people that have accidents, that don't have insurance, but cause that loss or that benefit, that loss of that loss. Roger, I'd like to have you speak to it.
Thank you.
And the caller brings a good point. You drive down some of the areas of like outside in the Grand Rapids area, and you see these 7-day insurance policy. Well, what's a 7-day insurance auto policy? What that insures allows a person to get the policy, get their license, and then from there, after 7 days, it's canceled. So right. The caller brings a very valid point. How do we get that addressed? At this point in time, the Secretary of State's office does not want to take on that task, but and now it's in hands of insurers, and there's, as I dug in there's some nuances of dealing with that there. But the caller has a very valid point. There is a number, as this insurance costs continue to rise and rise and rise, more people are participating in what the caller has indicated. And we have now a rise of these 7-day insurance policies and those type of things. And you were depleting the pool of those who are actually using the insurance system for how it's intended to be used. You bring these groups together and lower the cost. So less participation means higher cost. And that's why the higher cost is occurring, because of our unique no-fault system. That's why reform needs to take place, because the system mm-hmm. is collapsing.
Maybe a premium on the short-term insurance.
Well, there's with today's technology, you think there's some method, and I'm willing to take a look at there too. How can we use our current technology? They can scan these license plates. The police cruisers have that technology.
Right.
Can we, when we scan that license plate, can we come up and say if that vehicle has a valid insurance policy on it? Let's we got to use these this new technology
right.
to incorporate it, because we have to lower these costs, because our insurers right now are indicating, as with the phone calls today, this cost is a burden upon them, and we need to use every option possible to make sure our people who are driving are insured and paying their fair share.
Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Good morning, Roger.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. We want to be able to keep our landlines if we want to, not go to VoIP or a cell. Okay? So keep that in mind when you go back after the holidays.
Okay.
Yeah. That
is a big issue coming forward, the landline issue. And one of the areas, too, you know, technology continues to move forward. A few years ago, we had 7 million landlines. Now that has dropped to 2 million landlines. And
actually, it's 2.6 million.
2.6, yeah, a good 2 million, that's right.
That's right.
And
you know what? A lot of us don't want to have a cell phone, and a lot of us don't have Internet at the house.
And
you know, it's only going to be lucrative for AT&T, and they're the ones that have been pushing this. And they're the ones that gave that Knopf $600 for his campaign, and the other telecommunications company gave him $1,900 to push this crap through.
But and also, another thing we have to be concerned, I've been, as I studied this issue, another concern to be addressed are those businesses that base their business model on the landlines. They may have invested millions of dollars on those business models, and they need to be protected too. We are going to need to move forward on this, because as technology is coming forward, but where's the safe stops on this process? How do we address those businesses that invested on this landline model, and as new technology?
What about the homeowner?
And the homeowner. That's exactly if available. So, but also keep in mind, technology is changing. The cost to maintain this, so there's a lot of issues in play here, and you bring forth a number of the good issues, and also like to highlight these businesses that are based on these landlines and the time factors going forward. How do we get these addressed, and also make sure we incorporate the new technology and make sure it's cost effective?
Well, who's going to pay for our cell phone, and who's going to pay for our Internet?
Mm-hmm. Well, also, we have to make sure we got the cost of maintaining the copper in the ground, too. Many of these third-world countries are light years ahead of in their communications, because they're not depending on the copper system. So these are all inputs into this decision-making that we're going to make. Make sure we protect those.
Yeah, but you know what? You want to start this in 3 years, but I'll tell you this. AT&T isn't going to have fiber optics throughout the whole state of Michigan in 3 years.
And that's where, too, can we have more of the enforcement of this on our Public Service Commission bring that to that level, so that we have more voice at the state level than the FCC. So there's a lot into this bill. There's and we have not taken this up at this point in time, but again, it is going to be coming to the House, and there's a lot of input that need to be taking place, because it's a complex issue. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
And I'm with that. I've had a landline all this time, and I'm happy with it. And
it's doing your job for you.
Doing my job, and I can always hear the people that are on the other end, and it's a very good line.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to keep it.
Yep.